nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. Can I get an approval of the agenda as presented?
We so move.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes for the August 15th, 2023 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Council will enter into a public hearing for retail liquor license transfer, Maverick Inc., DBA Maverick Inc., number 422 to Richard L. Miller Enterprises Inc., DBA Miller's Buffalo LLC, located at 74 West U.S. Highway 16 East. Are there any oral or written comments? Hearing none, we are out of the public hearing. No unfinished business, new business. Can I get a motion to approve the liquor license transfer for Maverick Inc., DBA Maverick Inc., number 422, to Richard L. Miller Enterprises Inc., DBA Miller's Buffalo LLC, located at 74 West U.S. Highway 16 East.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome to town, Millers. Proclamation. Proclamation, Office of the Mayor, City of Buffalo, Wyoming. Whereas the United States, on average, 132 citizens die by suicide every day, with 48,183 deaths by suicide in our country during 2021. Whereas in the United States of America, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death for people of all ages. Whereas in 2021, 190 Wyoming citizens died by suicide. Their friends and family members' lives have changed for forever. Whereas in Wyoming, suicide is the 7th leading cause of death for people of all ages. And whereas it is time for each of us to be light for those experiencing darkness in their lives. Light brings hope, help, connection, and compassionate support. Now, therefore, I, Shane Schrader, Mayor of the City of Buffalo, do hereby designate September 10th through September 16th as Suicide Prevention Week in the City of Buffalo, and urge Buffalo community members to be light, because suicide prevention is everyone's business. Mr. Hawley, Mr. Osborne.
Oops. We're coming over here. Let's go to the meeting.
She's coming to meet Jerry.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for what you guys do for assistance.
Mayor and Council, thank you for the proclamation. Bill Hawley, Suicide Prevention Coalition of Johnson County, and a few of my coalition members are gathered here. And we'd like to offer, in addition to the proclamation, some ways that council, as well as those gathered and those in our community, can be light in the darkness. Ozzy?
Our coalition's mission statement is to prevent suicide through public awareness and education, eradicate stigma, and serve as a resource to the community, especially those touched by suicide. Be the light by getting involved. Our meetings are the second Tuesday of the month at noon at the Johnson County Planner's Office, room 20, or in the conference room, 26 North of Smith. Our next meeting will be Tuesday the 12th. Join us, please.
Be the light by lighting a candle in a window the evening of September 10th, World Suicide Prevention Day, to remember those who have died by suicide and support those who grieve their loss.
Another way that you can be the light is by sharing information about our Survivors of Suicide Loss group that Lorraine Steffi with the Pines Counseling and I started a few months ago. I'll leave these brochures for those gathered right in front of Chief Bissett tonight. Share one. Council, you have a card as well. We all know someone who's died by suicide. Unfortunately, that's our reality. Some people can benefit by a support group. That's what this is about.
Be the light. By learning more about noticing, recognizing warning signs, and in compassion, ask that very hard question, are you thinking about suicide? By attending the Question, Persuade, and Refer training on September 13th at Union Congregational from 9 to 10 a.m.
We're obviously missing someone who's supposed to be reading some of the other script. Another way to be the light is by having the courage and confidence to step into the river of suicide and intervene when someone is critically suicidal. Our coalition has been offering ASSIST, Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, here in Buffalo for over a decade. Typically, we do that in February. I have information about ASSIST. You have that in your packet, Mayor and Council, as well. Any of you gathered who would like information, it is a two-day, 8 hours each day, intervention skills training. Next one is in February, as I mentioned. My card is on here for extra information as well. And several of these folks have taken the class already. Probably the best intervention skills training for dispatchers as well, Chief. Oh, look, and Lorraine is here. So Lorraine is who I mentioned, co-hosting our Survivors of Suicide Loss support group. Also, I want to mention, in case you missed it, 988 is our new national suicide crisis lifeline. The great and hopeful news is this, that in Wyoming we struggled for years of not having call centers for this lifeline. When someone called the old number, Jerry, remember this, 1-800-273-8255? 988 is much easier, right?
Yeah.
Now we have two call centers. One is privately funded in beautiful Grayville, Wyoming. The other one is at Central Wyoming Counseling Center in Casper. They are taking calls from the 307 area code 24/7, 365. Just today, there was an article in Wildfile where Governor Gordon was quoted. Many, many people have this misconception. If I call the lifeline, the cops are going to show up at my friend's door and arrest them. 99% of the calls do not result in law enforcement intervention. And that's good, because we don't want people to go through the Title 25 process. We want them to get good, compassionate care. 988 is available. I'll set these cards, and these are magnets. If you'll use them, please do. If you're going to put them in File 13 back in your home, leave them for someone else. So there's hope. One last word of hope before we... You can move on to your next... Listen to me giving you permission to move on to your next agenda. Wow.
You sat up here a long time.
I did for a few years. Here's the other really good news. Most of you know that Wyoming has been number one in the nation in suicide deaths per capita for many years. We fight it out with Montana and Alaska year after year. That's not a number one that we want to be, nor that we're proud to be. Preliminary data for 2022 shows... that our suicide rate per capita has dipped below 30 per 100,000. The national rate is 14, so we're more than double. Now it looks like we'll be number three behind Montana and Alaska, which is hopeful. So in the proclamation, we mentioned that in 2021, 190 members of our community, our friends and family members in this great state of Wyoming, died by suicide. Preliminarily, that looks like it's going to drop to 155. That 155 still has names, like Tom and Mary and Frank and Joe. And so we remember them. And that's part of what we do as well, is we remember the lives lived, not the means of death. So you want to get involved, you want to do something, join these beautiful people, join us in however that looks like. Come do a training, learn more. It only takes a little courage and confidence to make a difference and maybe save someone's life. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was late. I was just trying to. Oh, and I'm going to leave about the survivors of suicide.
Oh, you've got something.
Okay.
Now
you guys are set.
Next on the agenda is mayor's appointments.
Reappointment of Zach Smith to the Casey Buffalo Johnson County Economic Development Joint Powers Board, JOCO First, for a 3-year term. The reappointment of Jake Wright to the Planning and Zoning Board for a 3-year term. And a new appointment of Natasha Arno to the Lodging Tax Board for a 3-year term. Council, is it your pleasure to do them separately or all at once?
All at once.
Yeah. All at once. Can I get a motion to approve the appointments of Zach Smith, Jake Wright, and Natasha Arno to the boards as stated?
I wish to move that.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome back and welcome, Natasha. On reports, Mr. Kirby with Legal.
Nothing to report. I have any questions.
Don't have any questions. Mr. Hasey.
Mayor Council, nothing new to report.
Okay. Chief Bissett.
Mayor Council, good evening. So we wrapped up another busy month in August to wrap up our summer. Dispatch handled 3,468 calls, which might be our all-time high in call volume. Erica McCarter, who works up front, had 183 walk-ins just alone coming in and asking questions, reports, and 500 contacting citizens coming. So her alone at the front desk has handled 600 people coming to the front doors just in the month of August. Pretty impressive. Our officers had 14 arrests last month. Two cases of note. The first case occurred on August the 18th. One of the nurses over at the hospital had someone break into the staff room, stole a credit card and a set of car keys. Luckily, they didn't find the car, but they did end up going to the come and go and make some purchases on the credit card. Sergeant Ferris responded, did a great job. We were able to get a picture of that suspect out to the community very fast, you know, via social media. Of course, that got shared throughout. Within 4 hours, somebody called over at the Super 8 and said that subject is now walking out the on-ramp onto I-25. Sergeant Ferris got over there. Subject was taken into custody. Ultimately, we were able to recover a little bit of the property, but he was ultimately charged and arrested. On August 28th, over at one of our motels, some folks went out to leave for the day, saw that their car was broken into. Once again, vehicle unlocked, so please, everybody, lock your cars. I know we're in Buffalo, but lock the cars. Saw that their pull keys were missing, valued at about $1,500. Their kids' backpack, shoes, and some cash was missing from the car. Officer Oswald handled that case. The very next day, they were able to get some surveillance video from the hotel. Actually saw that suspect come into the hotel, go into one of the rooms. He was already gone. But once again, somebody that worked there saw that video, spotted that suspect hiding in a bush up on I-25. Brought out and called the sheriff and some of our units got there and sure enough found him, and we were able to recover the property from his vehicle, which was actually parked at the Dollar Tree, so here in town. So just a reminder, these folks were not from Buffalo, but we do have a lot of folks coming in and through Buffalo, especially this time of year. So just be wary of locking your vehicles, keeping valuables out of sight, because it's happening and it's still happening. So, and with the hunting season upon us, more folks coming to town. But two great jobs with our community actually being on the lookout for us, and we can't thank everybody enough that does that for us, because that helps solve two very key cases that are difficult cases to clear. Vehicle burglary and theft are two very, very tough cases to crack, and we know them both within less than 8 hours from the time of the crime. So kudos to our community for looking out and helping us out. So with that, I would love to answer any other questions. Thank you.
Kevin Silverdagle, Public Works Director.
Mayor and Council, nothing to report. We have to answer the questions.
I've answered the questions this morning.
Thanks, Kevin.
That's how Brett simple.
Yeah, I parked over here today. Go ahead and see that.
Anything to add? Anything from your office?
Nope, nothing unless anybody has questions.
I'm going to look over this direction now and say, are there any roller rink comments? You gave too many secrets last time. Any oral ring comments?
My name is Ann. I'm with the Buffalo Ring Group. I just wanted to say we're excited to host our first 3v3 ball hockey tournament this coming weekend. And we hope to see all of you there. And thank you, City, for allowing us to get a liquor license. We'll be having beer. We don't have a liquor license, sorry.
I'll say beer.
I got permission to serve beer. My mistake. There will be beer, there will be live music, and there will be ball hockey. And everybody's invited.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other oral ring comments?
I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time, but I'd like to bring up the subject of the downtown trees. My name is Laura Schumann. I'm the International Society of Arboriculture Certified Arborist. My husband, Mo, and I have a tree care company here in town, which we've had for many years. We did take a bit of a break where we moved to my hometown in Texas. And during that time, I worked as the Urban Forestry Program Manager for the city of Austin, Texas, where I managed hundreds of thousands of trees all over the city, including in our downtown areas. So I've come today to ask you to consider not removing all of the trees in our downtown. It would be better if you looked at them on a case-by-case basis and consider each individual tree and what their conditions are. We did provide a report to the city back in December of 2022, where we walked downtown and just took a look at the trees to see what condition they're in, what mitigation might be needed to help with any kind of conflicts. We did find some cracks in the sidewalk, although we didn't see more cracks than in areas where there aren't trees. The sidewalk is cracked throughout. The grates around the trees have heaped up as the trees have grown. Those could simply be removed and mitigate the trip hazard that way. Many of the trees have low limbs that could be pruned, limbs blocking lighting and signage that could be pruned. We actually offered at that time to prune the trees for free, and that offer still stands. We would be happy to do that. And we're available to answer any questions, help with assessments, and work with the city in any way possible to help to figure this out. I've typically been on the other side of this and not been a citizen, so this is my first time speaking up as a citizen for something like this. So.
Just to clarify for the members here and the members listening, and I'm going to read it, city never had any intentions on removing all the trees, I don't think. And I know I talked to Kevin a little bit today, and they did walk and look, and there's maybe two trees that might be some issues that they're looking at. Is that correct,
Mr. Yeah, Coleman? To remove and replace. But so, as far as any more than that, I think okay. For what we're left, for our purposes, anyway, those would be on the
two. So what about the pruning? We had an offer right here to prune them for free, and that's a deal that's hard to turn down, I would say.
Especially in tunnels.
Yeah, especially the ones that know what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is going to be Mutt and Jeff.
We're going to come up now.
I'm Neil Schicke, and this is Richard Sander. We're part of the original Buffalo Tree Board, and we were responsible for planting all these trees downtown probably, what, 25 years ago?
Approximately.
Yeah, 25 years ago. And we got really good reviews when we did it. We worked pretty hard. We probably spent hundreds of hours with the tree board planting trees all over town. And we got real good reviews from all the citizens in town. All the mayors supported our efforts from way back to Mayor Douglas back in 1980 when we started Tree City USA. So, not to be too winded, I'm going to give you a little bit of history about things around town, because we had a lot of the old timers that kind of the original pioneers of the community kind of supported us in our effort. At one time, the original citizens of Buffalo, they went all the way out to Powder River in wagons and got cottonwood trees and brought them back in the city and put them in this cemetery.
Mike was there.
Thank you.
Yeah. But
So those original citizens of the town, they really thought about it, you know, having trees in the community. In fact, Buffalo was known for kind of being a little oasis in the middle of a desert. And at one time, I have photographs. In fact, Karen brought some photographs of North Main Street, and probably some of the old-timers remember this, that the cottonwood trees arched over North Main, and you could drive into town. It was like a tunnel. And it was, people really talked about Buffalo, and they really wanted to come in town and spend some time here. Unfortunately, the highway department in their development plans came in and cut all the trees down, and the citizens were totally up in arms about the whole thing. But back years ago, they didn't get anywhere. So, another little story. About 40 years ago, when I came here from Montana, I was a district forester for the Forest Service in Montana, and I transferred to the BLM. The county commissioners came down to the BLM office, and they said, there's a proposal to remove the two cottonwood trees in front of the courthouse. And they said, Neil, would you come down and look at those trees? And so I came down, and this is 40 years ago, and they said, what do you think? And I said, well, I don't see any reason to cut those trees down. Somebody said, well, they're going to fall on somebody, or they're dropping cotton, or they're doing this. And here it is, 40 years later, and the citizens of Buffalo have enjoyed those trees. And so that's another little story. So, 25 years ago, those trees were little, and they've gotten big now, and they're providing shade for the community, cooling effect, and also it's quality of life issue downtown with those trees. And furthermore, studies have shown that economic activity in the business community will be enhanced by having mature trees that provide shade. People want to come downtown, they want to spend time, and they'll shop at the businesses. Historically, if you look at the photographs of Buffalo, it was a pretty hot in-hospital environment years ago when there was no trees. And people would come into town and they'd say, I want to get out of here. I want to go to the mountains. I want to go somewhere where there's some shade and some cooling effect. Now, we've heard some rumors about cutting the trees down, and it was really upsetting to us since we put a lot of time into it and people supported us in this effort. We heard other rumors about it was the wrong choice of trees downtown. Well, I can tell you that the state forester's office will substantiate that the trees that we selected were a very good selection of trees. We have a white ash, we have green ash, we have basswood, American linden trees, we have locust trees, we have a diversity, so in case you have a problem with insects or disease, we'll have a diversity of trees that can withstand any kind of epidemic that could come. So, it would be a real travesty to remove any of those trees at this time. There's no problem with any of them right now. And we talk about sidewalks and all this. I mean, people try to come up with different problems with the trees. Well, they can all be addressed. Those trees have not been taken care of like they should have been over the years. In fact, in our annual budget, when we were on the tree board, they actually appropriated money where we could actually trim some of the trees around town. This was like 20 years ago, and that hasn't happened subsequent to that time. And actually, to be a Tree City USA, you have to allocate, I think it's $2 per citizen per year to be a Tree City USA. And I don't know if the city has been following those guidelines or not, because we could lose our status as a Tree City USA. Now, Buffalo was way ahead of all the other communities in northern Wyoming when we planted these trees. Sheridan modeled after us. They didn't have any trees downtown, and they looked at Buffalo. Oh, we've got to go plant trees in downtown area of Sheridan. They've done a wonderful job all throughout Sheridan, Main Street, the side streets, the north bypass. They've done a wonderful job in Buffalo. We haven't done anything. Basically, 25 years, 20 years. So what I had to think of.
I just want a little history here. I mean, the city council was involved in the approval of planting the trees. The only stipulations we had if we planted them was landowner approval and that they be kept trimmed. I mean, we did go to each landowner,
store owners,
where the trees are now planted. Everybody gave their okays. Again, as Neil said, trees planted were state forester recommended. We maintained and watered those trees the first few years that they were planted. I can remember dragging a hose around downtown trying to get trees watered to keep them growing. We had a volunteer effort to plant them. I don't know how many people came along and helped us, but the city cut the holes out of the street or the sidewalk for us, dug the holes, we put the trees in, put the dirt back in, kept them going. I was in Kansas City, Missouri last week. Trees downtown in the sidewalks down there. It looks awesome. I've looked at some, as Neil mentioned, concrete issues. We had dinner at 4th on Main the other night. There's a little bit of heaving there, but that could be alleviated quite easily. So we've got a lot of time invested in these trees, and we would hate to see them removed and change the downtown character of Buffalo.
Right. And a lot of people helped us, even young kids helped us plant trees. It'd be kind of a slap in the face to cut any of those trees down because we spent a lot of money and time, and young people remember helping us out planting those trees. And what we recommend the city to do is they resubmit a proposal to the highway department for three different things. First of all, possibly a budget, because trees are an infrastructure, as the Shubins mentioned early on, and that is true. It's a very, what would Buffalo be without trees? Now let's just think of one item. It would not be a very good place to live if it didn't have any trees. And so the request to the highway department should be funding for more trees to plant downtown, because we probably have 6 to 12 more spaces that we could put more trees downtown, and then a budget to trim those trees downtown from the highway department, since it goes with their secondary funding ability when they put a street in. And then thirdly, we have to have somebody to administer this. Now, the city does not have a very good track record with administering things, and I don't want to mention names to people or whatever else, but the Crazy Woman Square over there, there's two really nice locust trees, and there was a contract workers over there, and they had a backhoe, and I watched them, and I thought, well, why isn't the city there administering this? And they hit that tree and knocked the side of it off, damaged it, because the city's not administering it. And furthermore, somebody complained about a tree we had in front of the chamber, a little Canada Red, and I'm not going to mention the name, but it was the city, one of the maintenance, the head of the city, whatever you call it, the maintenance part, he came down, cut the tree down, and threw a garbage can on top of it. I thought, well, where does he get the authority to do that? And so the city of Buffalo has a tree board, and anything happens, they should be made apprised of what's going on with the trees downtown, and then they should make a recommendation to the mayor and the council what they think is good for the community, and you guys make the decision. So,
thank you for your time.
Yeah. One more rural red comment.
My name is Karen Buffington. For those of you that don't know me, and I'm extremely happy to hear that there isn't a plan to cut down the trees. I wasn't really up to speed with what the plan was. Expecting that was the plan, I did put a few things together, which I guess I'll go ahead and hand out if that's okay with you guys. Just some pictures of Buffalo before the trees and after, as well as some of the other other places we have trees in town. And I've lived in Buffalo for 44 years, and I've been a realtor for 35 years, and I can just tell you that of all the people that I've worked with that have moved into this community, one of the most common comments that I've gotten from them is what a beautiful community this is and how inviting and how beautiful our downtown is. And I think it would be a real tragedy to remove those trees. I think it would be detrimental to the appearance of our community and the desirability for people to move here, as well as for the businesses. When people are able to walk around and sit in the benches and in the shade and enjoy just experiencing Buffalo. So I guess I'd like to just kind of reiterate a comment that was just made. I think I'm glad to hear that you're not going to cut them down, but I think that we should consider, I'm not sure what the role the tree board has right now, but I think we should enhance what's happening right now. Maybe enhance the tree board's authority, maybe come up with some ordinances regarding the removal of trees, city trees, that is. And I think we should play off of what we already have, which is a beautiful community full of trees. Let's enhance that instead of take away from it. Let's, and we've got some wonderful people here that have offered to, for free, to help us do that, but that may not always be the case. So I think, you know, some funding should be allocated to protect this and enhance this resource that we have. And I think it's one of the most valuable resources we have in this community. Thank you.
Announcements. City Employee Picnic, September 14th. City County Meeting, September 19th at 7 a.m. City County Meeting. City Council Meeting, September 19th at 5 p.m. Planning and Zoning Board Meeting, September 26th at 1 p.m. Can I get approval of the bills as presented?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And with that, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Have a motion for a second.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Have a good evening, everybody.